In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Let us begin our morning service in opening prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, again we have come to this day when we have gathered around your holy word. And we yet ask thee that you would come to be with us through your spirit. That you would open our hearts to receive thy grace and mercy. That you would give us hearts to believe your word. You would give us that assurance that we are yet endeavoring on the way of faith. We thank you, dear Father, for all the blessings here in this life. So many wonderful gifts and blessings you have bestowed on us, and for all of them we thank you. We pray on behalf of those that are struggling with the trials and temptations of this life, that you would strengthen their faith so that they could remain as your children until the end when you have called them away from this life. We pray on behalf of those that do not know of your kingdom, that you would allow the light of your children to shine brightly, so that those searching ones would see that there is a place of forgiveness and hope. And we yet turn to thee with that prayer that we have been taught by your Son, our Lord Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the beginning of these services, dear brothers and sisters, I wish to be encouraged by the gospel that can I still believe my many doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name we will pause before God's word from the 8th chapter according to the gospel of Saint John. We will read verses 20 through verse 30. And the words of God are in Jesus' name. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come?" And he said unto them, You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Amen. These words which we have heard this morning were spoken to the Pharisees, the unbelieving people of Jesus' day. And as I have read these words, these are not the words that I thought I was reading, but we will pause before these words with that hope that God would give from these words this morning. The theme for this Sunday speaks to us about the dual command of love. And so if something is dual, we know that it has two parts. So that theme uses the word command and the word love and the word dual. If something is a command, what is it? It's very straightforward. It's not wishy-washy. It doesn't really vary. It's clear. So if it's dual, there's two parts to the command. And the command is about love. We all, I would guess, have some idea or some thoughts about love. And we could even say that love has, in our language of today, oftentimes the word love is used in a sensual expression, maybe. But it's much deeper than that. When you tell somebody that you love them, I would guess those are true words that you are saying. When you children go to bed at night and you ask for the gospel, and the gospel is preached, oftentimes I would guess that you end your conversation with mother and father that I love you. And that's true. But the Bible gives us a much deeper picture of the word. What is God? If I were to ask you the question that, what is God? How would you answer that question? The Bible gives us many ideas of God. We haven't seen God. The Bible says that God is a spirit. We have some thoughts about that. That how do you know God? We know God through His Spirit. Is it possible to know God without His Spirit? I would say that a person could have an idea about God without His Spirit. But can you know God without His Spirit? We know that we are the children of God by His Spirit. We can't be the children of God without God's Spirit. As the Bible says that we are assured of this, that we are the children of God, because our Spirit testifies, or it's in unity with God's Spirit, His Word. So are you able to be God's children on your own power or your own strength? Or have you come to know God by your own doing? I would guess there's many people in this world that have researched much on God's Word. And they have much understanding, and much of their understanding is true, and it's according to God's Word. But we had a little lesson here this morning to the Sunday school students, and we talked about being a light in this world. Can you, on your own part, shine forth the light of God? I would say that we as God's children cannot make God's light. Even by being perfect, even if it were possible, by being perfect at school, you cannot show God's light. God's light reflects from His children. And if we know that if something reflects something, it's like a mirror. A mirror just reflects an image. And when you look in the mirror, you can see the image of yourself. But a mirror can also reflect light. It doesn't make the light. It reflects the light. And so we are God's children here in this world, and we, as God's children, are those mirrors, maybe we could say. And we reflect the light of God. And so, as we asked a question already at the beginning, that what is God? The Bible says that God is love. So if God is love, then what is love? And as we already visited shortly about love, and how in our language of today, oftentimes the most common use of the word love is this word, it's more of a sensual word, used as a sensual expression. But it's much deeper than that. If God is love, then His Word tells us about love. Because these words are God's words. They're not man's words. Although man has recorded these words, as the Bible says, holy men of God wrote as they were moved by God's Spirit. So these words in this book came to be because of God's Spirit. God moved in man to write these words. It wasn't like a man decided, you know, I'm going to write these words and this is how I'm going to write them. But God's Spirit moved man to write these words, the words of God. As we've already mentioned, that mere reflects. And so it was that these words are a reflection of God. As we were already discussing about the dual command of love, and I don't have great understanding about this dual command of love. Some of the other scripture portions that have been assigned or set aside for this day and for the use of this theme and topic speaks to us about what is the great commandment. There was a question on one of the texts that, what is the greatest commandment? And we remember that Jesus answered that question that the greatest commandment is to love God. And God has first loved us. It's not possible for us to love God, but He has called us into this love. But then Jesus didn't just leave that as such, but He also says, and the second is like unto it, that you would love thy neighbor as thyself. And so, when we look at that a little bit deeper, it doesn't take long for us to realize how impossible it is to live by those commandments. But it is also this matter that when we have God's Spirit is in unity with those commandments. And God's Spirit wants to live only in that way. God's Spirit doesn't want to live in any other type of way, but according to God's Word, according to the commandment of God. And so you have been given God's Spirit. And so that Spirit rests in your bodies. But we also have in this body our flesh that wars against that Spirit. And so always that Spirit is guiding you on the way to heaven. And it's always guiding you perfectly according to God's Word. So then why is it that we fall away or we fall into sin? Because we carry the sinful portion that wars against the Spirit of God. And so we are also given through God's Spirit that great power to put down our spirit, or to suppress the spirit, or that fleshly portion that wants to also guide us in our life. And if we allow that fleshly portion to guide us in this life, that's not going to lead us to heaven. And so God always is encouraging us through His Spirit, through the gospel, through His Word and through the sacraments and all the blessings that He has given unto His children to put down our fleshly portion to put sins away through the powerful name and blood of the Lord Jesus, God's only Son. When Jesus lived his life in this portion of God's Word which we have read this morning, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. The Bible says that he was there in the treasury. And the Pharisees, they knew the Old Testament writings. They studied them. And they tried to live a perfect life, I would have to say, in an outward manner. We discussed that Bible class on Wednesday about the Sabbath journey and what that means. That term Sabbath journey came about because the Pharisees, in their attempt to live an exact life according to the Old Testament writings, they thought that, okay, if it's Sabbath day has asked us to pause from our daily life and work and gather around God's Word and put aside those things of the temporal life and come to the hearing of God's Word, the fellowship of God's children, and be encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. But they had taken God's Word in a carnal way, in a way that they could make sense of with their mind. As we already mentioned, that God is a spirit and his word is spiritual. But so that in their carnal attempt to live according to God's word, they had to define then what is work. If we don't want to do work, then what is work? And so this term, the Sabbath day's journey, was one of those terms and phrases that the people of Jesus' time knew very well what it meant, what a Sabbath day's journey was. It came about because of the Pharisees and their attempt to live according to God's word in a carnal way. And it was, if I remember right, 2,000 cubits constituted the length of a travel that they could go on the Sabbath day, which is about 3,000 feet. But in some of the writings that I had written or read about some time ago when I was trying to understand what the Sabbath day's journey was, if they had to go more than 2,000 cubits, in order to get around that, then they would say, okay, if you walk 3,000 cubits or 2,000 cubits, and then you stand around and visit for a while, then you could go another Sabbath day's journey, because it wasn't really work because they're separate travels. So there's all these things that trying to live according to God's word in a carnal way became so complicated. And so when Jesus was here living upon this earth, he was God. And he wanted to explain to the people God's word and his will. God's will is that all men would repent and believe the gospel. That they would put their unbelief and sin away. And as we were visiting about the word love, oftentimes in our day and age, the word love, people think that if you say something that's the truth, maybe, or we know to be the truth according to God's word, and that offends somebody, you're not showing them any love. You're becoming a judge over them, and you know, all these complicated things. But if God is love, you're not doing them any service by agreeing with a sinful life. In some ways, maybe you could even say that you're condoning what they're doing is okay before God. Because we're God's children, and we need to live according to God's word. And to give somebody that wrong impression that it's okay to live that way, we're not living according to God's love. We would want them to realize and understand and recognize that sin is sin before God, and what sin is. So maybe they would recognize that the way they're living is not in harmony with God's word. And so that they could put that sin away. And so when Jesus was speaking in this text that we have read this morning, he says, "These words speak Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Jesus was telling them, the Pharisees, that he was going to go, and they could not come with him. And then they got from that answer from Jesus, they said, the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he says, whither I go, you cannot come. So they thought that they were living right before God. They thought that, I would guess that if you were to ask them, are you a believer? They said, yeah, I would guess that they would say that they believe God's word. But Jesus clearly did not recognize them as God's children. They weren't living in unity with God's Spirit and his word. And so they even understood that if you take your own life, there's no possible way to get to eternal life in that means or that way. That's murder. And so from that understanding that they had, which was a right understanding that about taking your own life, they says, whither I go, because he say, whither I go, you cannot come. They thought he was going to take his own life, or maybe that's what their thought was from what Jesus had told them. And he said unto them, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So Jesus was telling those people that they're of this world, and he is not of this world. And I'm sure when Jesus told them that, it didn't quite make sense to them, because he looked like they looked, or some resemblance, I would guess. He looked like just any other person of his day. In our own minds, we have some idea of what Jesus looked like. And I'm guessing because we have pictures of artists' paintings of what Jesus could have possibly looked like, in some way we all have a similar idea of what Jesus would look like. But during Jesus' time, people didn't recognize by sight that he was Jesus. He looked just like any other person. In fact, there was one time in the life of Jesus that there were some people that came to Jerusalem, and they were, I think they were Greeks, so they weren't of the Jewish heritage. But they had heard of the work of Jesus and his teachings, and they came to, and they found his disciples, and they asked, where is Jesus? We want to see Jesus. And Jesus happened to be right there with the disciples. So they didn't recognize. And so it's not through our own intellect or our own understanding that we have come to know the Lord Jesus. He says, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So Jesus clearly told them that he's not of this world, he's from above, he's from heaven. And I'm guessing if one of you began to tell me that you were from heaven, I would start to think with my mind and reason some of these things out. But so it was that they also had those types of minds. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We know that that's still a truth today. If we do not believe in Jesus, in God's Spirit, in the kingdom of God, we will die in our sins. Jesus came into this world for one purpose, and that's because he wanted to redeem you He wanted to pay your sin debt that you owed to God. And if we do not believe that, we will die in our sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. So in everything in Jesus' life, he did according to God's word, perfectly. There was never a time when he misspoke. One of the other texts for this Sunday speaks to us about the Sadducees and the Pharisees, how they wanted to entangle Jesus in some way. Everything that they seen him do was perfect. All his words that he spoke were true. Many of the words that they spoke, they found in their heart some pain, some suffering because of those words. They didn't like that feeling. They became angry at Jesus because he spoke the truth. They didn't like it. So and rather than putting their sins away, they look for ways to entangle Jesus. I suppose they thought, well, I don't know what they thought. But God is true. And Jesus was the Son of God. He was perfect. It's not possible for us to make God do evil, to do wrong, to even have those thoughts is wrong. God is perfect. Jesus says, Everything I have told you is God's word. It's the truth. I have heard these of God. Everything you read in God's word is the truth. As he spake these words, many believed on him. So as he was speaking to the Pharisees, apparently even some of them, as he spoke these words, they believed in Jesus. It found a place in their heart. They believed God's word. So then Jesus says, this is not one of our portions that we read, but then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm sure we've all been set free by the truth. Oftentimes we get entangled in some of deep discussions and so on and so forth. And sometimes we don't know what to say. It seems like we've even become entangled in what we've already said ourselves. And all we can do is ask for the gospel. The truth hath made us free. The truth of God still speaks in God's kingdom today. We're sinners. That is the truth. We need much grace and much care. But this morning, the truth of God's word says unto you, you can believe. You can believe as you are. All of your sins, your failings, your doubts of the journey. You can believe they're all forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Be set free. We're in a good place. We're in a good kingdom. Where God speaks unto us. He calls us. He unites us. He gathers us. He strengthens our faith. So we can remain traveling on the way to heaven. If we didn't speak the truth here, where would we find the truth? God's kingdom always speaks unto us of the truth of God. Jesus goes on further in the 36th verse to say, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's not you or I that has made anybody free here in this life. Certainly we've spoken God's word and we've spoken the message of the gospel. But Jesus sets one free. We're only proclaiming of the work that Jesus did in your behalf. That you can believe, your sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And through that, you are set free. Be encouraged this morning, dear brothers and sisters. Continue to believe in that simple and childlike way. If you can do that, I can assure you, you will receive the reward that waits for you in heaven. So be encouraged this morning, dear brothers and sisters, to remain traveling according to God's word, in harmony and unity with God's word and His Spirit. God's Spirit doesn't battle against these words. The battle that we have sometimes against God's word comes from within us, that sinful, fleshly portion. God's Spirit doesn't struggle to live according to these words. God's Spirit has allowed these words to be prepared, preserved for us, that we could time and time again gather around God's Word, receive encouragement and instruction in this endeavor of faith. It's an endeavor, to say the least. Faulty and weak and sinful as we are, again and again we can be set free through the name and blood of the Lord Jesus. So be encouraged and be emboldened to remain traveling in that simple and childlike way this morning. Believe this morning, all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and holy atonement blood. And again, I would like to hear from leaving from this place, can I hear the gospel? Can I believe my sins forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our service this morning with the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.